more likely than whites to be searched during a traffic stop.
The results are based on police contacts with the public in 2005. Flames from an overturned gasoline tanker truck have melted a section of a Northern California freeway, causing it to collapse. Officials say the loss of the interchange that funnels traffic off the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge will cause major commuting problems tomorrow. This is SRN News.
News Talk 1170, KCBQ.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you find that Christians can never answer even your most basic questions, questions about God, the Bible, the resurrection. Well, I am somewhat sympathetic because often Christians do say things like, well, you have to accept it by faith. And now let me introduce a woman who you will want to accept with or without faith because her personality is so acceptable that if she weren't here, I would have enough leftover euphoria to accept three or four people in her place. Say hello to my co-host and producer of the Bob Siegel Show, Sharon Kishard.
Are you making this stuff up? Where in your brain do you have
these colorful
places for this?
Sharon introductions? Yeah. One of these days we have to do a whole show where we just play the entire hour, like 20 Sharon introductions. Or people could buy the album.
Yeah, okay.
Take Sharon Kishard home with you. Make some loved one a great Christmas. They make great stocking stuffers, kids. We could have Smiley Miley advertise it and advertise Bob's colorful.
I think it should be a Smiley Miley album, actually.
Well, where do I get the ideas from these? Mushrooms or acid or something like that. It's like when I used to read The Far Side, I'd say, how did this guy come up with one of these? Not that I'm in that ballpark. These are much humbler artistic gestures. Well, folks, welcome to our program. Our call-in toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. If you have a question about the Bible or a comment, 1-888-344-1170. We also take email questions, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net.
And I have some email here. Now, some of them are questions, actually, but most of them are very nice comments.
And when they're nice comments, we'll read them.
You want to read them, don't you? Have we ever gotten an actual bad comment?
Well, there's going to be one coming up today, but no, not... Well, remember the guy that used to always write in and tell us that Jesus was gay and the church covered that up? They were handwritten with things pasted on. I wondered
really
if there was
weird.
A file on this guy at the police department. But anyway.
The first one is from Cynthia, and she's talking about the show we did last week with Mary Stevens Jones. Great, great show. That was a stunning revelation about what's going on with the Muslims in our own backyard. Can't wait to see what happens next. Thanks for all you do.
In fact, Sharon, I don't know if you got this forward, but this same Cynthia sent me a clipping of the Union Tribune's version of the story.
I did get that.
Which is nothing like the version we heard. Now, I believe Mary, but I was thinking this might be fun to see if we could get this lady who wrote the Union Tribune article, get her and Mary on our show at the same
time.
That
would be interesting.
That might be.
That's
a show. It's like Seinfeld. That's a show. There's a show.
We've dreamed up shows before.
What did you do today? I got up and I went to work. There's a show. That's
right.
A show.
This comes from John. He says, I've rewound it twice. He's referring to the, I think, April 1st talk with Brian Fleming.
Right. And by rewinding, of course, he means that a lot of people download our MP3 files and listen to the show off the internet instead of hearing it live on the radio the way the good Lord intended
it
to be listened
to. I actually transcribed that whole one.
Yeah,
so I knew what he actually said. Yeah.
So he's talking about the second time we had Brian Fleming on.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, on April 15th.
Brian Fleming made a little last comment right before we went off the air.
I've rewound it twice, and I've no doubt Brian Fleming ended his call with "Praise God." Am I dreaming?
No, John, you are not dreaming. Brian said that. I'm almost 100% positive that he said it sarcastically, though. That would have been quite a miraculous conversion indeed. But, John, thank you for listening to the show.
Several weeks ago, we had Sarah on, and she writes back that she asked you a lot of questions about Judaism.
About Judaism, and then she's also responding to the first time Brian Fleming, the atheist, came on our show.
Okay. Listen, to last week's show, and wanted to let you know that it was great. Is that what she's referring to?
She's referring to the first Brian Fleming debate.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't remember your guest name, Brian, the man who created the challenge to blasphemy the Holy Spirit. Well, I could not believe things he was saying. I mean, I believe them. They were just very shocking to me. To then hear him say he was a former Christian, I couldn't believe that. Now, in my own very limited knowledge, I was under the impression by way of interpretation and teaching that once someone has experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, they cannot blaspheme it. Therefore, a Christian cannot commit that unpardonable sin. So if he had really accepted Christ in his heart and been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, he will still be able to be forgiven if he repents, right?
That's a good question, Sarah. I believe that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and denying Christ are actually the same thing. But one could have honest, sincere, skeptical doubts about the historical person of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts to a point where we know or strongly suspect, at least, that it's true, and we abort that process for the reason that we'd rather live a life of sin, this is what the Bible calls the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Whether or not this particular individual, Brian Fleming, actually did that, I don't know. In some ways, his heart seems very hardened, but I can't get into his heart with a periscope, and I can't tell. I certainly hope he hasn't really done that. I do know this. If somebody at one point in their life just said, okay, Holy Spirit, I blaspheme you, and they didn't know what they were doing, and I think a lot of these people that come on this guy's website don't know what they're doing, I think God understands that, and God's not going to hold a fire over their head as though they made some magical incantation. At the same time, I think this guy is messing with people's heads, because some of these high schoolers years from now are going to get into college. They might want to really consider Jesus, and then there's going to be guilt trips deluxe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, very good question, Sarah. Thank you for sending in.
Let me continue
with
this. Oh,
was there more?
Yeah. Also,
I should have waited till you finished before I went on that diatribe.
No. Okay. Also, isn't he in terrible danger of God's judgment for leading so many people, whether they are Christians or not, to commit the unpardonable sin? Do you think it is really unpardonable? And if it is really unpardonable, was I taught correctly that only believers, you kind of answered this,
yeah,
would then be able to commit such a sin?
Well, and again, it's kind of a yes and no. Yes, it's unpardonable, but no, it's not something we do once. In other words, if a person their entire life remains rejecting Christ and they die that way, then it's a problem. As to whether or not this guy is at a point of no return, again, I can't say. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't presume to make that judgment. I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and it is going to be between him and God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is from Mark. Just heard the interview with Fleming. Boy, this made a lot of racket with your fans.
Well, he's famous on the internet, and
yeah,
even to someone who hadn't heard of him, just those are shows people wouldn't forget.
Right. Greatest line he said was, quote, "I suppose that is what they would have said if he existed." You know what he's referring to?
He's referring to the fact that when Brian Fleming came on the first time, he said that not only was there no evidence for the resurrection, but there's no evidence that Jesus lived at all. So then I showed him evidence, and he said, well, yeah, but that's not good evidence. And then I showed him why it was good evidence, so he finally said, well, I'm surprised what little evidence you had. He kept altering his premise. But at the end, he did finally say, he was trying to make the claim that these were just religious references, and I was showing that, well, this was Tacitus, a secular historian. And he finally said, I suppose those are things that a historian might have said, and that's what John's referring to.
Okay.
So John's referring to the fact that Mark is referring to the fact that Brian reluctantly conceded some things.
Okay.
But Brian kind of chuckled while he said it to
yeah,
to, I guess,
yeah,
try to soften it or to not make it look like he was conceding.
I don't really believe it.
Yeah, it's like, well, I guess I can't argue with you, but you still sound like a silly Christian, that kind of thing.
Great job. I wonder what his story is for leaving Christianity. I bet it has nothing really to do with him looking into the claims of Christianity. I don't think you can be such a devout believer as he claimed to be and then just up and turn your back on Christ. To become such a dedicated and aggressive anti-Christian as he has become leads me to believe there's a story behind there somewhere.
There may be. And I remember one time I was debating another atheist publicly, Dan Barker, and Dan Barker had claimed he was once a Christian. Somebody asked me right in the middle of the debate, a Christian in the audience, said, what do you think is Dan's reason for turning from God? And I said, I can't presume to make that judgment. There might be some emotional reason, but I like to just take these people at their word. Dan said, and Brian said when he came on the show, that he came to the conclusion that there was no Holy Spirit. Well, if he sincerely believed there was no Holy Spirit, then he wasn't blaspheming the Spirit, because blasphemy of the Holy Spirit means that you you know the Holy Spirit exists or suspect, and then you push him away. But then, of course, there's a rationalization, and you tell yourself he didn't exist. I don't know. I've met atheists and skeptics who were genuinely sincere, who would really look into it if you showed them evidence. And then I've met others who, no matter what you say, no matter what you show them, they have already decided it's not true because they don't want it to be true. And, you know, I might have feelings or opinions about which side Brian was on, but again, I feel that I should just give him the benefit of the doubt, take him at his word. He says it was all about blind faith. Well, if it was about blind faith, then he never was a Christian.
Right.
He likes to play that as a wild card. I was once a Christian. But if it was really blind faith and the Bible doesn't teach blind faith, then he wasn't a Christian. Right. And I'll just take him at his word there.
Okay, this last one is from Lise. She said, I just finished listening to your show with Brian Fleming. I was so upset to get April's prayer letter and read about his horrible website. It almost made my skin crawl to think of the hatred and anger behind something like that. Like one of your listeners wrote, it sure would be interesting to know the true story behind the departure from faith. That's definitely, there's definitely some hurt there, she says. He was rather intelligent guy. However, I found the exchange between the two of you enthralling. I don't know how you do it, how you stay so calm and so polite and so caring. I thought you refuted each of his points very well. He certainly had the easier end of the job, since all he had to do was scoff. I hope you are able to maintain some kind of communication with him. I would sure like to hear what becomes of him. Just wanted you to know it was riveting, and you came out sounding not only well-informed and confident, but also compassionate and gentle. You're amazing.
Well, thank you, Lise. That's very nice of you to say. And Sharon, from now on, any letter that Lise writes, you read that
right
one
first. Right to the
first.
Top of the list.
Actually, those were all very, thank you, all of you. Those were very encouraging letters. Now, I should say, Brian wrote about the two shows he was on as well. And hold on to your seats, everybody. He saw things a little differently. Actually, he never wrote me, but he wrote something on his blog site. And we will read that when we come back. Also today, our good friend Peter Howe is returning. Speaking of sincere skeptics, he is a skeptic who does seem a little more sincere than Brian. Peter always asks great questions. He puts into words what many others are thinking, but he has the guts to honestly voice them. Coming up on News Talk 1170 KCBQ.
Admit it, to be successful these days, you need a website. And if you don't have one, you'll be like my friend Arnold, who finally switched from a manual to an electric typewriter when everyone else already had a personal computer. And the day I tried to talk him into a website, just listen in.
Forget it, too expensive.
Then how are you going to market your company? People need information.
There's still a device called a telephone.
Telephone? You're talking like Fred Flintstone. How are they going to see your logo, your graphics and pictures, your store?
There's a lovely brochure that we send out.
Have you any idea how much money you spend every year to print these brochures?
Yeah, right. How about the cost of having your website hosted? Not to mention the time, the complicated software, the hiring of a designer.
All of those difficulties are removed when you use Web Studio.
That name sounds familiar.
Web Studio is a website design software. It enables you to create your own pages in minutes without hiring a designer. All you do is use your mouse to drag and drop images and text. Then it saves the pages for you on the internet. The program includes 14 design galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and anything else you need.
I didn't know it could be so easy and quick. Maybe it is time for me to step into the 20th century.
Arnold, it's the 21st century. For information on Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. This is Bob Siegel and Sharon Kishard. Coming up, our good friend and Sincere Skeptic, Peter Howe from Maine, is going to be on to ask us some sincere questions about Christianity. But we had another skeptic on a couple of weeks ago. He was actually on our show twice, kind of a part one, part two of the debate. His name was Brian Fleming. Brian hosts a website that actually challenges people to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And then you get a real cool DVD if you do that. That's worth it, right? To blaspheme the Holy Spirit so you can get this DVD. That's
pollutes.
I don't think it's going to be worth it to them. But then I'm not sure people are really blaspheming the Holy Spirit anyway. But he talked about his last time on our show, but it's not something he sent to me. This was on his blog site, and you went to his site and you read this, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you read that to our listening audience?
And he's writing this about the April 15th
show.
The
second time he came on.
Right. He says to his audience, apologies if you tuned in. I didn't get on until 3:45, and then Bob Siegel mostly ranted or raved rather nonstop while accusing me of interrupting. I thought Siegel would be a bit less insane, as he seemed to be on his medication the last time I talked to him. And then in parentheses, he says, the only thing I find fun when these conservative blowhards go ballistic is that I feel completely relieved of the obligation to take them seriously. But I know it isn't quite as fun for anyone else listening to hear me treat a grown man like a retarded child. If this clown invites me on again to mock him, I'll append a warning about what kind of conversation it is likely to be.
Ouch, Brian, that one hurt. Okay, now how do I respond to a letter like this? Well, I'm not going to respond to his obvious insults because that would be a waste of time. But I do want to respond to the one thing he said in there that was not an insult, where he says, I didn't get on until 3:45. Now, I don't know if he was deliberately trying to misrepresent it or not, but it sounds like we just didn't let him on till 3:45. And of course, that's not the way it happened. Well, Sharon, we were planning on doing round two of our debate with Brian Fleming, who we had on 2 weeks ago, and we can't get him on the phone.
I know.
He said he would come on. He offered to come on. We don't want to unfairly represent Brian. So, Brian, if you're out there, please come on and represent yourself. We're supposed to be joined by atheist Brian Fleming. He was not available when our tech guy tried to get a hold of him. And Brian was going to be given the same opportunity, and perhaps he'll come on another time and do it. But I did immediately invite Brian to come back, and he could have come back, and maybe he will come back. Brian was a nice guy, and I want to be fair. And again, you know, I should say, I'm a real believer in disclaimers. Brian's not here. If you didn't hear the debate, Brian was nice. He was polite. I think he's an intelligent person. I think he knows more about filmmaking than I do, but I don't think he studied the ancient world quite as much as he lets on. Of course, Brian did finally get on the show, and he was on 10 minutes. Now, one of the advantages of a radio program is that everything is recorded, and you can go to my website, which is bobsiegel.net, Bob Siegel spelled S-I-E-G-E-L.net. If you go into the radio archives and look at the show dated 4/15/07, you can hear this program in its entirety, and I hope you will. You can see how I ranted and raved and how friendly and warm and respectful Brian was, how I falsely accused him of interrupting. And this is very important. Brian claimed he was not giving ad hominem comments. If you're unfamiliar with debating lingo, an ad hominem means that instead of making your point with facts, you make derogatory comments about your opponent. And I'm sure when Brian wrote on his blog that I'm an insane, ballistic, retarded blowhard, he meant that only as a means to advancing sincere, stimulating discussion which demonstrates why he possesses the intellectual high ground. It wasn't an ad hominem at all. Sharon, I do want to make a comment about a conversation I had once in college, though, and this gets us away from Brian and his insults. And I just want to say something about websites and the internet in general. Now, obviously, I have my own website. I do research over the internet all the time. But I want to tell you something. We've lost something, because before I went on the internet, I used to go into libraries, and there were books that were like buried treasures. It was like hunting for gold or the Holy Grail. There would be books I'd be looking for years, and I would finally find them. And on the subject of ancient Rome and ancient Judaism, things that I studied in seminary and things that I went on and did 20 years of personal research of my own for the longest time, I have found information that is absolutely fascinating. And where I'm going with this is I remember talking to a student once at the University of Seattle in Washington. And he was trying to tell me that Jesus didn't rise from the dead and Christianity was a lot of superstition. And I remember asking this student how much he had studied the ancient world. Had he ever read a book about it? Has he done any research? Now, to his credit, he very honestly said, actually, I know nothing about the ancient world. And I said, okay, well, that's okay. That's fine. I mean, we all study different things. I'm not expecting you to know this or know that. But you might want to consider, if you're honest enough to admit that you haven't studied this, you might want to consider not making any comments about it. And it was a really productive conversation. But Sharon, the very next day, he came out to our table again. And he had gone to an anti-Christian website and read about how Josephus and Tacitus and all these ancient histories were just forgeries. And in one sitting, as a result of one website, which maybe at the most he spent a couple of hours reading, he knew everything about the ancient world. This is the double-sided sword of the internet. It is a two-edged sword. I use the internet. There's value to the internet. But we have lost something with the internet because it leads people to think they know more about a subject than they do. So that's not addressed to Brian. That's just my lament about the internet, period. But we do have another skeptic coming on, somebody who's been a friend to our show, Peter Howe. We will bring him on. You're listening to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in three serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. If you wanted a guarantee, you should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
I would like to remind everybody that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. My good friend George Runyon hosts City Voice every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30. And on this provocative program, George interviews a different Christian ministry every week. But right now, you are listening to KCBQ. Our call-in number 1-888-344-1170. And Peter, welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Thanks, Bob.
It's nice to talk to you again, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today.
And I guess about a month ago, I asked you about the Maine weather. We don't want to bore our audience too much with weather, but I am curious. Did spring finally break out there? It was just starting to see the snow melt when we talked before, but I know the country's gone through hurricanes and blizzards since then. How is it in Maine?
Well, we had a big storm, and it filled up the yard with snow and the like, but it's gone now.
So. Okay. So it's a pretty warm day today.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, a little showery, but...
So what's been on your mind lately? You had a great batch of questions last time you were on. What's been on your mind today?
Well, I remember last time I was talking about or asking about the hiddenness of God.
Yes.
And one of the things that really runs through my mind in that whole theme, I think about Sharon's story of spending 8 years kind of as an intellectual Christian before experiencing the Holy Spirit, which is a little different than the story that you related, but I I think about that situation with regard to myself, and I think, okay, I'm willing. My prayers are more of an if-then kind of a thing than something that is definitely filled with faith. It's more of an, okay, God, if you're there, then. And I basically wait. And one of the things that concerns me is that if I were to make some confession of faith, which would be, well, would be dishonest at this point, I guess.
Well, what would be dishonest about it at this point? If you were to say, I have reason to believe that the God of the Bible might be there, so I'm going to start going to church, I'm going to start reading the Bible, I'm going to start praying, and God, if you're there, start showing yourself to me. That's a kind of profession of faith, too. You're not claiming that you're sure. You're not claiming that you're not claiming to have experienced more than you've really experienced, but
right.
I don't think that would be a hypocrisy either. I meet people in church all the time that do believe by blind faith. I don't think they should be, but them not being sure isn't keeping them from coming to church. I would hope that they'd use church as an opportunity to pray more and study more and that God would start illuminating them. And sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. And that could depend on whether they're in a good church or a lousy church, or they could be in a good church and they're just not putting in the effort. But I would never tell these people that they aren't there sincerely. And I certainly wouldn't view them as hypocrites just because they haven't had the same experience that I have had or that Sharon has had or that somebody in the charismatic movement has had.
Yeah, and I guess that's that's how I feel when I attend church. I feel like a hypocrite. And as I said, my prayers are always kind of an if-then kind of proposition. If you're there, then. And I think about attending church and reading the Bible and all of that, and what ends up coming up in my mind is the idea of autosuggestion. And I keep asking myself, well, if I tell myself this enough times, I'll believe it. But to me, that's not real belief. It's, I know they use, you know, these auto-suggestion techniques to convince people to lose weight or stop smoking or whatever else they might do. But to me, it's an idea that's been planted and germinated in someone's mind.
Well, wouldn't that work the other way too, though, Peter? If somebody has doubts, couldn't the doubt have been planted and germinated in their mind also?
Well, certainly. Yep.
What would it take for you to be sure that it was true? What exactly would God need to do to 100% convince you?
I mean, I've made a lot of prayers like that, and I guess, you know, they've ranged from the gambit of, you know, some miraculous event in my life to more of a personal experience. If you're really there, let me meet you.
Now, I'm trying to remember the last time we were on, you talked about an experience that you did have. You might have to refresh me a little bit, but it was something about, there was something you were thinking about, and it's from what I recall, the sermon that morning was referring to the same scripture that you happened to look, you made some prayer and then you happened to look at a scripture, and then you went to a church service and they were preaching right out of that same scripture. Does that sound
right?
Familiar? Does that?
Yep.
Why don't you tell us, is that exactly how it happened, or did I get that wrong?
Well, I basically made a prayer saying, God, please speak to me, and kind of just pulled my hands away from the sides of the Bible and let it open to some page.
Do you remember what the scripture reference was?
It was, I don't remember the exact verses, but I know it was in 1 Thessalonians.
Okay. Do you remember approximately the, could you give me like a paraphrase kind of the essence of what it said?
Well, it's a little strange. The pastor that used that section of the Bible for his sermon had pulled out the words or the letters peculiar and had said how Christians were a peculiar people and had used each letter, obviously, to make some point. And the section of the scripture that he used for that is the one that I had opened the Bible to.
So you had opened the Bible to about us being a peculiar people. Was there something else in that? Because it seemed like there was something in that passage that had given you comfort, and then when the pastor also talked about it, that seemed especially significant to you, from what I remember.
Well, I know that when I went to church that Sunday, and they, as many churches do, they hand you a little program for the day as you come in, and I had opened it up and said, she had shown the sermon was based on, you know, 1 Thessalonians 10 or whatever the particular passage was, that certainly I was struck with that.
So you didn't at that time view that as a coincidence, and it, I mean, I know this is, we could say this is a small thing, but I guess if I had been praying earnestly like that, mm-hmm. and something happened, that to me would be quite a coincidence. It's an illustration that I like to share a lot. I'll give you kind of the short version of it. I had asked God one time for $100 to donate to my church back in the 70s when $100 was a lot more money. And like 2 days later, I got a letter from a friend that said, God laid it on my heart to give you this amount of money. And there was a check for exactly $100. Now, the idea of that happening by randomness and chance to me seemed so much more illogical and absurd as the... Sure. Obvious possibility that somebody might have been listening. Now, I know that story is not exactly the same as yours, Peter, but it seems like I would take that to be some kind of sign. I know the Bible tells us to not always be looking for signs, but as far as an earnest prayer goes, the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it seems like God was doing some kind of accommodation there. I mean, I would think that would be a pretty good start, at least.
Yeah, and I know, I remember at the point that as soon as I, you know, was sitting in church and opened the program for the day and saw that I was certainly brought to tears. That...
See, now, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'll bet there have been some other things like that since then. But I know with my own life, there are times I'll pray to God for things because, you know, the past, our hindsight's always 20/20, and there'll be times when I'll wonder about things or pray about things or ask God to do something, and I'll forget some of the things God already did, which would really help me to trust him more in the present. For example, Peter, in the Old Testament, that the central event in the Old Testament was the Exodus from Egypt, and long after you get out of Deuteronomy and you're into the Kings and the prophets and Ezra and Nehemiah, that constantly God is saying, I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. Now, one of the reasons he did that is because these were people that still needed to be delivered from the Babylonians, the Persians, you name it. And by remembering that God had brought at least their forefathers out of Egypt, that was giving them the faith. And here we have a genuine definition of faith, not blind trust, but a trust in a God who they knew was there. They had the faith to trust this God to work in their lives because he already had. But with me, there are times when I just forget to write these things down and to keep a little diary of the many things that God has done. Like if I'm going through financial hardships, it's really easy to get depressed about it. And then I forget the many times where God just came through with flows of money. And maybe I'm not seeing it happen now, but it happened before. And it kind of gets me through. Does that make sense?
It does, and there's actually a document that I had been compiling.
Of a list of these kinds of things?
Of, yeah, and, you know, I titled the document, Is This Evidence?
Uh-huh.
You know, and that certainly was one of the first things in the document.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let me comment on what you said about auto-suggestion also. I was doing a debate at Arizona State University a number of years ago, and I was debating a pretty well-known atheist by the name of Dan Barker. And what Dan was trying to do during the debate was have it both ways. He was claiming it was all blind faith. Well, when I told him I had actually experienced the Holy Spirit, and in my case, and I'm not saying this always happens, in my case, I had actually heard an audible voice from God, like some of the things you read in the Bible. Now,
yep.
That hasn't happened to me often, and I think there's all kinds of wonderful ways the Holy Spirit communicates. But I knew that some of the others were so quasi-nebulous, esoteric, that I wanted to give Dan a real tangible one. And he just wasn't prepared for that. But the only thing he could do was try to make sport of it and go, oh, well, if you've heard an audible voice, then that means there's a psychiatric problem. And what I did is I pointed out to the audience that this was circular reason. I said, I want you to all watch this because this is basic debating theory 405. Here this man is saying it's all blind faith. And the minute I say it's not blind faith, I've met God. It's like, oh, met God. Whoa. Now, here's what was so funny about this. When the debate was formally over, there were still 30 minutes of questions from the audience. We had this angry, in-your-face female atheist psychologist. She gets up. She says, I'm an atheist, and I'm a psychologist, and I have a question for Mr. Siegel. And I'm going, oh, boy, she's gonna get up there and just rip apart this experience I've had. I was so amazed at what she said. She says, Mr. Siegel, a couple of years ago, my sister died, and my other sisters went to the funeral, and it was an outdoor funeral. And while we were there, I saw an apparition, an actual ghost of my sister. And I didn't say anything. And driving home, I turned to my other sisters. We started talking about it. They said they saw the same thing. I'm going, okay, this isn't going the way I thought it was. She goes, my question for you is this. Why do you assume that just because I'm an atheist, I don't believe in the supernatural? Well, this was the most bizarre question from an atheist I'd ever been asked. I said, well, I didn't say that just because you're an atheist, you don't believe in the supernatural. Evidently, you do. Now my opponent, Dan, who doesn't know what to do with this, goes, well, ma'am, what you experience is what they would call auto-suggestion. And I turned to him, I said, Dan, she's a psychologist. Don't you think she knows more about auto-suggestion than you? Then she waved her finger at him. She goes, it was not auto-suggestion. And she stormed out of the room. It was that was a Kodak moment. But you know, there are people like, for example, M. Scott Peck, who wrote a book before he was a Christian, as a secular psychologist, he wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled. And later that became a bestseller, but that later on he began meeting people that were actually demonically possessed. He began experiencing the supernatural from the evil side. It led him to become a Christian. And he, as a psychiatrist, has documented this stuff, and he finally wrote a book called People of the Lie. And so my point was, there are many psychiatrists and psychologists who understand things like auto-suggestion, who are Christians, and who could explain the difference, because absolutely there is brainwashing, and of course there are people in insane asylums who think they hear voices, but there are also clinical psychiatrists who know the difference and would attest to the supernatural. Anyway, for what that's worth. Well, hang with me, my friend Peter. We'll be back. And if you're listening and you'd like to call in and share with Peter and share with us some stories from your life, things God has done to convince you that he's real, or things you've done when you've doubted, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. You are listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
How many times have you heard the phrase, they're all the same, applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Bill, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuild." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuildInc.com. That's ProBuildInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuild.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. This is Bob Siegel and Sharon Cachard. And we have our good friend Peter from Maine. Peter Howe is a sincere skeptic, has been to a lot of churches, would like to believe in Jesus, but just is not absolutely sure that he exists. Peter, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Bob.
We were talking about autosuggestion, and we went to a break. Let me give you a chance to respond to some of the things I said right before we went into the break.
Yeah, well, it's. I think I had mentioned I have kind of a document that I call "Is This Evidence?" That I. It's more of a personal log that I record things.
Well, that's
in.
A wonderful idea. What are some of the other things you have on there? Do you have that document in front of you?
Yes, I do. And I.
Why don't you read us something else from there?
Well, I have. I think I mentioned this last time, but I had, as a child, I had a cat. That was kind of my best friend. Being an unpopular, picked-on kind of kid in school, I, would come home, and this cat would be my comfort. And the cat went, I guess, first deaf and then blind, and then lost control of her bodily functions.
Right.
So my mother relegated her to the basement. But through all of this, I kept turning to this cat as my friend. And one day I went down to the basement and visited with this cat and finally allowed myself to see her suffering and decided that, my parents, of course, had said it innumerable times, and I had not been willing to admit it, but finally accepted that, yes, this cat needed to be put down. And so when I went up the next morning to the breakfast table and, through tears, I told my parents that, I agreed with them now that it was time to have the cat put down. My dad had said, "You won't need to do that. I found her dead this morning."
Hmm. Which, in a way, wasn't dragging it out as long for you.
Excuse me?
What did you find a relief in that? Because it was so painful to go through the process of putting her down.
Well, what struck me was that this cat lived until the very day that I said I could
let
go.
Wow. And you know, pets can be quite an emotional attachment. I have a pet cat too, and pets mean a lot to us. That must have been really hard. But if I'm hearing you properly, you're saying that just the timing of that, it seemed to be almost ordered from above that it happened on that day.
It was the timing, yes. That now I can suspect that perhaps my dad was fibbing to me and didn't want me to have to deal with the difficulty of going to the vet and all that, but that all seems to be a stretch.
Well, and when we talk about evidence, the very nature of evidence is that we could always come up with something. We could say, how do we know Australia exists? We haven't been to Australia. Maybe it's a hoax. Maybe they took pictures of Africa and called it Australia. There's always, you could always come up with something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it isn't good evidence.
If I can just interject something, I think that in circumstances we are given an opportunity to nurse a doubt or to allow that circumstance to build our faith. And, we have that choice with everything. And I think that building that is a faith builder, in my opinion. And just accept it as that. Can you do that?
Yeah, well, it's always something that I've looked at to say, this cat was 16, 17 years old. It's a very old cat, very sick cat. But
was still alive until the day that I said, you know, I let go.
And that's a long time for a pet to be alive, too. And even when you were younger and you were being picked on in school, that was a comfort that I think God was giving. What are some of the other things on the list, Peter? This is an interesting list. Well, I'm really glad you're keeping this. This is such a – I hope that anybody listening is learning from this, that make a list of these times, because if we don't write them down, you'd be surprised our ability to forget and just think God's not answering prayer, God's not doing anything.
Well, one of the things that really amazed me is that – and I can't remember exactly when I – dug this up, maybe 6 months or a year ago or within the last year. But I think I shared with you at one point, which was in 2002, that I was in very dire straits around drinking alcohol and was basically headed for rehab. And I had spent 3 or 4 days just drinking myself to oblivion until I would pass out. And then as soon as I would wake up, I would drink again until I was passed out. And I kept doing that for several days until I realized that I was going to die if I didn't get some help. And in that, and I didn't even remember it at the time, but years later, after looking at some old emails, I received an email from a woman that I had kind of corresponded with in some chat rooms, and she sent an email during that time saying that she was just prompted to pray for me. That you know, she wanted to know how I was doing.
And, so you hadn't heard from her for a while, and then right at a needy time, out of the blue, she says you've been on her mind?
I had sent back this very choppy email, obviously very alcohol-affected, but had just said, you know, can't stop drinking, thanks for, you know, your email. And that came at exactly or within that 5-day bender that ended me up in rehab. And she just sent that email out of the blue saying she was prompted to think of me and to pray for me and to send an email to see how I was doing. And I have recently sent back an email, you know, asking her a little more about that. You know, what exactly prompted you to
very good questions.
Send this email and you know, and at the time. And
those are good questions, Peter. You're being like a good investigative journalist. What happened in your life? What prompted you to write that? And if she says something like, I don't know, I wasn't even thinking about you that day, you suddenly just popped into my mind, that's something to pay attention to. And I'd like to hear a few more of your stories, but let me just jump ahead a little bit. About how many of them do you have, out of curiosity, on this sheet of paper? Well, see, if you have
maybe
to count them, that's
dozen,
a good thing, Peter. How many? Did you say a dozen?
Half a dozen.
Half a dozen.
In my journal here.
Okay. And what kind of span of years do they represent?
Well, it goes anywhere from the cat, which was in my early 20s, to the woman who sent me the email and prayed for me out of the blue.
Was that the most recent one?
Which was probably about 5 years ago.
And has there been anything else in the last 5 years, or was that the most recent one?
No, it's the most recent.
That's the most recent one. Okay, now let me ask you a harder question, Peter. In as much as these things have happened, obviously for some reason in your mind, you're thinking that they're not enough. Let's put a hold on that, and we will get back together. Stay with us over the line. You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show at News Talk 1170 KCBQ. We will be back with our friend Peter, a sincere skeptic.
Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. This is Bob Siegel and Sharon Cochard, and we've been dialoguing with Peter in Maine. Welcome back to the program, Peter.
Thanks, Bob.
So, inasmuch as these things happen, and grant you, they've been sporadic, but they're significant. Let me just honestly tell you, if things like that were happening in my life, I would view them as coming from God, because I would have a difficult time explaining them away. And this is what people don't always stop to think about. When you get into this whole idea of a coincidence, it takes so much more faith to believe in a blind coincidence than to believe that there's order out there. It would seem that the simpler explanation is that there is some kind of God out there looking after you. But I know that it's very easy for me to say that. I know you've been going through a lot of pain. I know that you have doubts. I know your doubts are genuine, and I do respect that. And we talked last time about the fact that when we've had a rough childhood, there's a lot of emotional stuff that God has to work through. And I had encouraged you to get some kind of counsel in those areas. But that being understood, what would be your answer to the question of why, despite some of these things, few but significant as they are, you still have doubts that it's true?
Well, I don't want to abuse the comment that people often make when they say extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
Thank you, because you know? It tells me that you're a man who can think for himself and you're not going to just repeat a talking point. So I appreciate
no,
that.
No, that, yeah. I mean, that's obviously just a...
That was a very good disclaimer, Peter. Disclaimer Dan couldn't have done better.
I'm not trying to abuse that talking point.
But you do see some value in it.
But it does, yeah, it does have some meaning to me that if someone had, you know, called me on the phone out of the blue for some other reason, or, you know, my cat had just happened to live, and perhaps, you know, when I went down and picked her up that night, that was the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of her health. You know, I could explain things away that way if I chose to.
You could. Now, similar, I mean, before the talking point, extraordinary claims need extraordinary evidence became popular, what we used to hear from atheists is the term Occam's razor. Are you familiar with that term?
Somewhat.
Yeah, Occam's razor makes the point that we should not attribute things to the supernatural or to God that could be explained in other ways. In other words, they're saying the most logical explanation is the correct explanation. Now, I have turned Occam's razor on its head in dialogues with atheists. For example, when I tell them that story about the $100, on one hand, you could say, yeah, Occam's razor. The most logical, simplest explanation is the explanation, and it's very possible that was just a coincidence, so why attribute that to God? But the likeliness of that kind of coincidence, that I was talking to myself, that God didn't exist, that you were talking to yourself when God showed you that scripture verse, and then the pastor happened to read from that same verse, the likeliness that is a coincidence, to me, is even more amazing than the idea of a sentient feeling being. We're sentient, we think, we feel, we have personality. That had to come from somewhere. It makes more sense that if we're talking to the possibility of a God out there, and then we have a prayer answered that somebody heard us, than that it was through randomness and chance. And so I would say to an atheist, to put it in today's lingo, that if they want to say extraordinary claims need extraordinary evidence, I would say it is an extraordinary claim that these things could have happened just by chance. That, to me, actually seems like more of an extraordinary claim. What do you think? Just a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I think where I get stuck is that, okay, I have this experience and that one and that one and that one, and they're all ones that you could use Occam's razor to say, oh, well, there's just a simple explanation for that. My problem is that I ask God for something that I can't do that with. You know, I'm asking for an experience that I can't explain away.
Well, you know what?
I can't rationalize.
I have found that, and I don't think this would be true of you, Peter, because I believe from the moment we read your first email over the air that you are sincere. But it is possible, so I'm talking more about others than you, it is possible for people, no matter what God does, to explain it away. I mean, I had a... I think you've heard some of my dialogues with my friend Zach, and Zach's a very nice, respectful person, but Zach was claiming there was a $1,000, not $1,000, a $1 million reward out for a true case of healing, and I brought him on with a rock star that had dropped dead, had come back to life in the church service, his pulse had come back, his heartbeat was normal, his allergies were gone, his asthma was gone, and of course all Zach could say was, well, I don't know him, I wasn't there. We said, well, there was a doctor, it was authenticated. And there are times when even when something amazing does happen, there's always room for doubt. But let me leave you with this caveat, Peter, and we do want to have you on our show again. I was going through some of your old emails to prepare for today, and you had asked me if a limb has ever grown back. So let me help you a little bit. I've done a little bit of research, and I'm going to send you this documentation. But there is a true story of a pastor, Henry Wright, who in Atlanta was praying over a woman. She was about 16 years old, and she had a malformed limb, and it did grow 5 inches in his presence, literally growing. But Peter, we're out of time, my friend. Come back on the show again and just keep writing these things down. You're doing a great job. Take care. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.
Honey, did you do what I asked you?
You mean fix the fence?